Let's go to Revelation chapter or something or other. Ten. I need to write a book on the Revelation.
I was thinking about that as well. You weren't? Yes, I was. You need to write a book.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. Now, what was that little book? Anybody know? And he set his foot, right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now let's go back to 2 Peter.
It's the little book. I read it. I like seven thunders. That's a neat
one. Verse, let's start in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. What? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, it's obvious that that can't happen until that seventh angel sounds. And the minute the seventh angel sounds and he lifts up and swears by him that created all things that there shall be time no longer, at that instant the heavens melt, the universe melts or is dissolved into nothingness. You understand? A little bit?
That's like about the only thing that you can swear. This is like this one oath, you know, it's like if you're going to swear something, it's that
now,
time is gone.
Now, when the scriptures declare that you and I have eternal life, that means that we live life as if there is no time. That time is never a part of our equation. It's never a part of how we live life. It's never an instrument by which we calculate. Now, no matter how you try it, no matter how you think about it, as long as time exists, you will always be subject to cause and effect. Because something, whatever you do, it needs the passage of time for it to be completed. But if we in eternal life live as though there was no cause and effect, Babylon has been destroyed, then we live as if we were in a state of being in which there's time is no longer. That is eternal life. Does that communicate at all? In effect, It's the same issue that Noah had with regard to the building of the ark. For 117 years, it took Noah from the time, I think it was 117, from the time that God commanded him to build the ark because it was going to rain, until he had to live life with only that one ark in view. And the scriptures say that he condemned the earth by his obedience. Now, you got all that in your mind for a minute. The day of the Lord... where are we? Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, in verse 11, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, the holy conversation, the conversation is your manner of life, that you live your life in this context, as if in the same way that Noah lived his life with only the ark. Now, the difference is now we have nothing to do. We don't have anything to build because Christ is the ark. All the time, the only reason that time exists is for us to sit down and be at rest, be seated with Him in the heavenlies. The perfect perception that it's finished, the perfect perception that it's perfect, the perfect perception that wherever you look, you see Jesus. The perfect perception that you look, that it's impossible for you to have a need. That's what it means to sit down. Now, in verse 12, looking for, that means longing for, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Now, the word hasting in English would mean the same as looking, but it has a strange meaning. It means, in effect, that you cause the day of the Lord to come by your obedience.
Like the raising of the ark. From the tabernacle.
Right. When the tabernacle, all the cunning workers and all the skilled workmen had finished the different individual pieces of the ark, they put it on the lawn in front of Mrs. Moses' house. And the ark reared itself. Now, you finish the pieces of the ark or the tabernacle when you are at perfect rest. That means your peace in that tabernacle is finished. You're no longer seduced by time. So again, the day of the Lord, in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Holy conversation? The way in which you conduct your life? Godliness is right worship or right thinking. And what is the right thinking? It's finished. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look or see the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. There's absolutely no excuse for you to ever be out of the rest. There's no excuse for you to ever be in a position where something, you're waiting for time to do something. Because you are living your life in eternal life in the place where the seventh angel has sounded saying, time is no more. You're seated at perfect rest, and because you put on, without regard to what anything looks like, you put on His righteousness, His rightness, His life, then you are without spot and blameless. Living in 100% complete dependence on God without any thought for you or yours. That's what the word looking for and hasting means. Because, I don't know about you, but from the day that I recognized this mystery, from the day that it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, I have been waiting for that day. I have been hasting for that day. It ticked me off to no end when I knew that in order for that day to come, I had to be obedient. I had to open my mouth and teach and speak. I didn't want to do that. I wanted the day to come then. But that wasn't love. That was selfishness. Well, it's been proven since the day it pleased the Lord to reveal His Son in me, my life has been totally and completely screwed up. He didn't fix anything. He didn't make me anything that I can. He gave me my worst nightmare. But He fulfilled every heart's desire. So this is an exhortation, a call to live your life both not just. It's not just how you walk, it's how you think. In all manner of conversation of how you conduct your life and godliness, how you think. As if the angel of the Lord had raised his hand toward heaven and swear by Him who hath created the heavens and things that are therein and the earth and the things that are therein and the sea and the things that are therein. He has sworn that there should be time no longer. Now, I promise you something. The minute you fathom that at the depth of your being, then there will be silence in your temple. This is everything. This is the how you are transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is not renewed to think greater and wonderful things. Your mind is renewed to see what the angels saw. That there should be time no longer to see what Jesus saw. It is finished. To not in the slightest way pound more thorns into His skull by your thinking. To pound more nails into His hands by your thinking there's something to do. And to pound more nails in His feet by thinking that there is some place to go and something to do. But see that angel standing. He's standing with one on the land and one foot on the sea because that is dominion. And he's raised his hand to touch the heavens because that is dominion. And he says and declares, time should be no longer. That's what eternal life means. That the gift of God is eternal life. Now start living that way. Start thinking that way. Start being that way. That's enough. I hurt my voice.
You know, Moses working on that ark, it was like the salvation and it was the destruction of everything else all at the same time. You know.
And for 117 years or whatever it was, everybody got to see it. And anybody that wanted to ask him what was going on, he would tell them.
Please, I mean, this, you know, I hear these fairy tales that are told in the name of Christ. And they have to end up with 3 and 4 days of the Lord. Well, there's a day over the Lord, and then this melting won't happen until after the 1,000-year reign, and then this is not going to happen until you get raised up and meet him in the cloud, and then you're going to come back to earth and reign with him, and then and it's just horse shit. There's only one day of the Lord. It started at the crucifixion of Christ, and we are in that last day. Take heed as to the light shining in the dark place, in the dark day, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Take heed to nothing else. If I'm getting impatient, I mean, this is something I saw 30 years ago, 32 years ago. And every word of the Scriptures proclaims and testifies of what I saw. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. Or I'm mean to them. Oh, you poor little SOB. Does anybody feel what I'm talking about? Or is this some other intellectual curiosity that you're going to give a sop to and think about for a moment, and then go on and conduct your life as the rest of the Gentiles? There's only two left. There's only the bride and the whore. There's neither male nor female, bond or Jew, white or black, young or old. So simple. The latter rain has fallen. Anybody have any other response?
No response to the time issue. You know, we're so caught up in measuring time because we spin around the sun, and I mean that orders our life. It, you know, makes us do things at 7 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And the idea of God's not subject or into that in any way. And a day to him is 1,000 years or whatever, so it's like if you can't get into that mindset and out of this circling around the sun as time, you're stuck. Because time exists for you. So it takes something to blast you out of the 40, 50 years of habit.
Well, which day are you going to? I mean, where is the day 24 hours? I mean, if you live in the North Pole, the day is 6 months.
Yeah.
If you define the day by the orbit of the Earth, and it's pointing towards the polar star, the day is 25,000 years. I mean, to God, the word 1,000, it doesn't mean that it's 1,000. It means that it's a huge number.
Yeah.
The day of the Lord is as long as your rebellion is going to last. Well, how can it be rebellion? All I'm doing is being concerned about my loved ones. What, do you think God isn't? You better than they? You can't do anything about it. Well, all I'm doing is being concerned about my health. Again, my exhortation to you is, I want to control my health. Well, my exhortation to you is then control the enzymes to digest what you just ate. Control the flow of blood. Well, I just need to do things that I can do something about. You know, that's the same as saying I'm going to help. God helps those that help themselves. I mean, your mind cannot be seduced by anything to bring it back into the kingdom of darkness. Your mind must be in agreement with God. It must confess with God. It must Homologio is the word confessed. It means to speak the same thing. You can't speak the same thing unless you hear it. You can't hear it unless you see it. I mean, you can't see. If you hear it, you will see it. If you see it, you will do it. God, to speak the same thing as God, you must. And to see the same thing, you must. You must. For 2,000 years now, you must have seen that the field is already white unto harvest. You must see the new Jerusalem having already descended. You must have seen the angel of God standing with one foot on the earth and one on the sea and declaring that there is time no longer. Otherwise, you're going to be seduced by every little whore that comes down the sidewalk. John, any additions, expansions?
It's like when you run through a deal like this and you touch on all these things, like that thing about fight for the harvest, you know, that's like 2 or 3 Bible studies worth of, you know, just looking at that scripture, you know, what Jesus said about, you know, don't be in time. You know, your senses tell you that time is needed for this to happen and that to happen. You got to wait, you know, from this time to that time. You don't. That's what he was directly saying.
Yes, because it's not you that are going to harvest. I mean, these people, the field is wide. See the wheel is. Therefore, you have to go out and do stuff. No, the one that reaps the harvest is the angel with the sickle of God.
It's not yet 3 months to the harvest. It's outside of time.
Strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
That's my reaction to what you said this morning. Everything else, anything else, is stupid and boring and vain and silly and stupid.
John?
I hear you clearly. How many of those stupid and boring and vain things where we pump life into today? Not seeing them.
Well, hey, I pray none. I guess, you know, I said this a long time ago, but I'll say it again. I've spoken this as clearly and as precisely as I know how in 1,000 different pictures or ways. It all says exactly the same thing from Genesis 1 to Revelation, the end of the book. It's the same message. There's only one. It's like I told Rutledge in a memorable Bible study one night. I've given you all that I have to give. Now take me home, Lord.
You know, that picture of Noah building the ark and the people around him while he's doing it. And nobody cared until the flood started and the doors in the ark were closed, and then they really cared. And even as a kid, that section of scripture that talks about two in the field, one will be taken and one left, and two on a rooftop or whatever it is, that stuff really gets my attention. Be ready against that day.
Kevin?
Not only did it not rain for a long time, everybody thought it was crazy.
And it never rained before.
It was also a drought too, wasn't it?
Later.
That's after his commission was accomplished.
I can send a boozer.
That was after he finished the ark. He didn't drink before he finished the ark.
It was after his work was done.
Okay.
When he stopped being a hunter, like, so.
He was no longer. He was up on the scaffold all day long, man.
There's a big bones.
No, this is the only thing there is. The gift of God is eternal life. Everything that you need, He's already given you. Everything you need to fully see and understand has already been manifest within you. I can't teach you anything. The only thing I can do is speak something that sparks something in you that you already know. To war. If you can find the slightest place where it's an error, tell me. I don't like this message either. My mind hates it. I want to be president. I mean, I don't really now, but I mean, that's what my mind told me I was going to be, wanted to be, should be. It shows you the depth of stupidity of my mind. But if you can find war, question it, scream at it, yell at me, say this is bullshit, Oli. I don't care what you say, but be so that there is no shadow of turning within you. But don't sit and negotiate with yourself. Or build me use me as your joker in your temple, which some of you have done for years, haven't we, Gary?
Did you see me do it?
I saw you do it. I saw both of you do it. That's why I want you to war. I want you to speak it, to test it, to push everything against it.
Oh, I'm afraid if I say something, I'll get embarrassed. Or I'm afraid Oli will be mad at me. Or I'm afraid Oli will yell at me.
So I'll just do it in my mind. I'll beat him up in my mind. Won't we, Harry? I wish we could finally see that this thing doesn't have anything to do with me. It's either truth or it isn't. If it's truth, then there's only one response, and that's repentance. If it's not truth, then have, if you say you love, then have the love to reveal what's wrong with it.
Everything is wrong with it. It goes against reason, it goes our sense of fairness, our sense of cause and effect. I mean, it's unreasonable. Recently, I found myself in the position of defending that. Somebody coming to me and saying, you know, this person says this, and this person says this, and they don't reconcile. My only response is they don't have to. It's your mind saying that there has to be reason, and this has to make sense, and this has to.
Logical resolution.
Yeah. Something I can do. If
I understand it, then I can apprehend it and do it. And that's beyond the reach of our mind.
Well, so is, you know, the Nation of Islam saying there's a great big mothership up there that's, I mean,
there has to be some way that you determine that something is truth. And it doesn't matter whether anybody else says it. It doesn't matter even that it says it's there. It's, Bible says it, therefore it's right. There's got to be some measure that you use to define truth, that to make sure that it's true. And you know, we talked before, there has to be at least three witnesses, in my opinion. The Bible says two or three, but I think there should be at least three, because that triangulates.
Now, I mean, this is why the book of Revelation was such a blessing to me when I first became a believer, because it verified everything that I had seen. It was the revelation, not book of revelations of what's going to happen, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
And then I'd start hearing, you know, and then I'd start, we had guests. We'd have all these guests in the radio or television show, and they'd start talking about what the book of Revelation meant. 1967 is when this should have been, the countdown starts in 48 or 67, and then this and then blah, 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 and I just got sick to my stomach. But so you've got to find your measure of truth that meets all standards. If it doesn't, then you're a fool to listen to me.
I sort of talked with Johnny the other night about some stuff, you know, and he was like saying, you know, he listened to religious radio or something for some kind of backgrounding reason for something he's trying to write or something. He was talking about how stupid it was what things they were saying, but he was actually trying to figure out why they were stupid, you know, and we were talking about that. And it was like, I said, you know, you can't just sit there and decide your opinion is this and their opinion is stupid, you know, based on what? You know, it's like you gotta like push it some, you know, actually just investigate or, you know, ask a question or something, you know, which is what he was doing. But that's true for all of us. We have to,
and that's what we've always
sit back and say, you know, blah blah blah.
We've always encouraged that. We've always encouraged open debate. We've always encouraged you to push everything.
It makes sense on the cross. It doesn't make sense in any other viewpoint.
All righty, I'm tired. I was tired 40 minutes ago.
Praise God.
Take it, big guy.
Miracle.
Yeah.